Welcome back to Staying Ahead of the Curve, Crypto Regulation and Competitiveness. We've had a very busy morning discussing stablecoin regulation and U.S. competitiveness with crypto regulatory uncertainty, as well as a fireside chat with Senator Bill Hagerty. Next up, we have remarks from Commissioner Carolyn Pham of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Commissioner Pham is a recognized leader in financial services compliance and regulatory strategy and policy. Her substantial experience spans key international issues such as prudential regulation and systemic risk, financial markets, fintech and digital assets, ESG, implementation of global regulatory reforms, and addressing the impact of major disruptions like the 2008 financial crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic. Commissioner Pham is the sponsor of the CFTC's Global Markets Advisory Committee. Previously, Commissioner Pham was a managing director at Citigroup, where she held various senior roles, including head of market structure for strategic initiatives on the Institutional Clients Group Business Development Team, head of capital markets regulatory strategy and engagement, deputy head of global regulatory affairs, and global head of swap dealer and Volcker compliance. She was a member of firm-wide governance forums and has held leadership roles in many industry organizations. Commissioner Pham is a fellow of the American Bar Foundation and has received various professional awards. She has a BA from UCLA and a JD from George Washington University Law School, where she has served on the Dean's Advisory Council for Business and Finance Law and was a visiting fellow at the Center for Law, Economics, and Finance. Unfortunately, Commissioner Pham is unable to join us in person today because she is currently in Seoul attending Korea Blockchain Week. But she has graciously provided us with recorded remarks specifically for our audience here today. We'll take a watch for Commissioner Pham's remarks. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I would like to begin by extending my thanks to the Cato Institute for inviting me to speak before such an esteemed group, both those presenting at and attending today's conference. It is an honor to be speaking alongside and before some of the most prominent thought leaders in the world at Cato. I'll take a moment to say that my remarks are my own as a commissioner and do not necessarily represent those of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, my fellow commissioners, or the staff. Staying ahead of the curve is what my prior career was about and something I've continued to champion since becoming a CFTC commissioner in April 2022. During my international tour last year to kick off the relaunch of the CFTC's Global Markets Advisory Committee, or GMAC, which I sponsor, I met with central banks, finance ministries, regulators, and other policymakers. We discussed approaches to technology and responsible innovation to support economic growth. And what I have learned is that in many other jurisdictions across the UK, Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, policymakers and regulators are unified in their approach to diversifying and growing their economy as a matter of industrial policy. I am impressed by the way that other countries encourage growth and progress, two of my guiding principles for my commissionership. The United States is home to the world's first trillion-dollar public company born out of Silicon Valley in 2018. And now, all five public companies with a market cap of over $1 trillion are still U.S. tech companies. But I am concerned that we have taken our past progress for granted. A wait-and-see approach in the U.S. towards the potential opportunities of blockchain technology and digital assets falls short of the proactive measures needed in this rapidly evolving industry. That is why I have consistently called for the CFTC to use our existing authority to provide regulatory clarity for digital assets to ensure that robust guardrails are in place. Right after I was sworn in, I published an op-ed together with SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce, calling for public roundtables to examine the crypto crash and propose reforms. I was the first U.S. regulator to propose a comprehensive regulatory framework with my 10 fundamentals for responsible digital asset markets. I proposed the CFTC's first ever Office of the Retail Advocate to give a voice to the retail public and focus on retail protection. I sponsored the creation of a digital asset market subcommittee of the CFTC's GMAC to develop recommendations for industry standards and best practices, including taxonomy, pre-trade execution and post-trade requirements, and governance risk and control frameworks. Today, I will propose that the CFTC launch the first ever U.S. pilot program for digital asset markets. Our principles-based framework is built for innovation in technology, new products, and market structure. In waiting and seeing, we're missing opportunities to capitalize on all the benefits of the technology before us, while others take a more strategic and long-term view. The U.S. may soon find ourselves constantly playing catch-up, unable to effectively leverage this technology for economic growth. Jurisdictions all around the world have embraced the drive to stay ahead of the curve and launched innovation facilitators or regulatory sandboxes. In the U.S., the federal regulatory framework does raise challenging legal issues, including the fact that the CFTC is an enforcement agency, for agencies like us and the SEC to structure and design regulatory sandboxes. While we have created offices dedicated to fintech, true regulatory sandboxes have been limited to the states. However, as I will discuss today, the CFTC and the SEC have in the past had success launching pilot programs. At their core, pilot programs provide a way to strategically introduce and refine new initiatives. When thoughtfully designed, they can help minimize risks and maximize the chances of a new idea succeeding. Like regulatory sandboxes, pilot programs can be an effective tool to facilitate innovation. It's time to take action. A pilot program can create a framework for emerging technologies and market structures under our existing laws and regulations. To get there, I will begin by reflecting on the characteristics of past pilot programs, which have all played a role in shaping our markets. I will then recommend the CFTC help the U.S. stay ahead of the curve by commencing a pilot initiative for digital asset markets. It is my hope that a pilot to test, gather data, and develop a pragmatic approach to tokenization can ensure we continue to uphold our mandate of fostering open, transparent, competitive, and financially sound markets. I'll start by briefly touching on the key features of three past pilot programs before recommending an approach for the CFTC to take today. First, in September 1995, the CFTC launched a three-year pilot program to permit a new class of transactions to trade. The CFTC launched the pilot program with the goal of permitting these products greater flexibility in competing with foreign exchange traded products while maintaining customer protection, financial integrity, and other protections associated with trading in an exchange environment. At the time, exchanges wanted to permit greater flexibility to offer products to sophisticated traders. After soliciting comments on the exchange petitions and proposed rules, the CFTC adopted final rules that would expire after 3 years, with the commission committing to review the program and whether to make it permanent well before the end of the pilot period to provide market certainty. The pilot program had four main components. Trading rules. The rules provided a framework of safeguards intended to set forth conditions for executing the transactions, including the process for submitting product terms and conditions for listing and commission review. Reporting requirements. Exchanges had to provide the CFTC with open interest, pricing, and trader reports. Registration requirements. Introducing brokers and associated persons could be granted temporary licenses or registrations for the products subject to certain fitness requirements providing identifying information. Risk disclosure requirements. Futures commission merchants had to disclose material information about the transactions to customers. Second, in April 1998, the CFTC launched a three-year pilot program to permit the purchase and sale of agricultural trade options on certain commodities. At the time, the agricultural community wanted to use these products as a risk management tool, but they had been banned for over 60 years. After a number of public meetings and receiving over 400 comments on proposed rules, the CFTC adopted interim final rules to permit the trading of agricultural trade options. After the three-year trial, the CFTC would consider whether the rules should be made permanent. This pilot program also had four main components, although slightly different. Registration. Agricultural trade option merchants and their associated persons were required to register. The interim final rules set forth application requirements along with fitness standards as part of registration. Financial requirements. Applications for registration needed to operate in commercial agricultural markets and have a minimum net worth. Financial statements were required to be provided, and grounds like having been convicted of theft, fraud, embezzlement, or similar wrongdoing disqualified applicants from registration. Conditions on the contracts. Among other conditions, all agricultural trade option contracts had to be in writing, and the merchant had to give the customer a signed copy of the written contract. The contract also had to state the amount and grade of the commodity where delivery should be made if the option is exercised. Disclosures and reporting. Before entering into an agricultural trade option, the merchant had to disclose to the customer information about the general risks of agricultural trade options, as well as information about the specific option contract, including its terms and cost. Third and finally, in June 2010, in response to the May 6th flash crash, the SEC adopted rules on a pilot basis through December 2010 establishing circuit breakers to pause trading in certain individual stocks for exchanges. After the flash crash, U.S. exchanges filed proposed rule changes providing for trading pauses in individual stocks when the price moved 10% or more in the preceding 5-minute period. The SEC was able to adopt the rules on an expedited basis on the grounds that they represented a useful first step that would improve the existing procedures for protecting investors and maintaining fair and orderly markets. The SEC approached the circuit breaker program in three phases, initially intending that the markets would use the pilot period to make adjustments to the circuit breakers when needed based on their experience, and to expand the scope of securities subject to the circuit breakers when practicable. After the first phase, the exchanges added additional securities as expected. Eventually, the pilot program led to the SEC adopting its limit up, limit down mechanism, initially on a pilot basis again. Overall, these pilot programs were designed to help regulators develop robust frameworks that address emerging trends and market conditions effectively. The programs also fostered a collaborative environment for regulators and market participants to work collectively together for its common goals. Staying ahead of the curve requires being ready to embrace change. I can imagine that in the past, commissions and the staff were working with the same issues that we face today. I can imagine many meetings where they reminded one another that they were there to serve the public by embracing technological advancements, fostering responsible innovation, collaborating with stakeholders, continuously learning and adapting to changing market conditions, and making data-driven decisions. As a regulator overseeing the largest financial markets in the world, we have a responsibility to proactively take on new challenges instead of passive observation. That's why I'm recommending the CFTC do a pilot program to support the development of compliant digital asset markets and tokenization. In line with our previous pilot initiatives, I am optimistic that this approach will ensure the integrity of our markets and impartial access, foster liquidity and competition, address potential conflicts and risks, and prevent fraud, abusive practices, and manipulation. As a first step, the CFTC should call for a roundtable to engage all stakeholders. We can leverage the work of the CFTC's GMAC Digital Asset Markets Subcommittee to provide key insights on the design of a successful pilot program. After that, the CFTC should propose and adopt rules incorporating many of the components drawn from past pilot programs, including registration and eligibility requirements, financial resources and other conditions, risk management, products and contract terms, and other requirements, including disclosures and reporting. The pilot program could be on a time-limited basis to allow the CFTC to gather data and to study whether or not these changes should be made permanent. I am confident that the public will also suggest other conditions as well. This proposal shows us how the CFTC can safely explore innovation while maintaining appropriate protections for our markets. I propose this all with the goal of helping keep the U.S. ahead of the curve. As I have said before, my approach to any challenge is to get all the information, learn as much as possible, and then find pragmatic solutions with an eye towards making policy that is both informed and practical. I believe a pilot program is the perfect next step consistent with that approach. Thank you again to Cato for having me, and I look forward to hearing from the public on my proposal.